When you have a membership that is really dialed in, especially from a retention standpoint, that customer doesn't stay for a few months. That customer stays for years. And that's what we see in our community. And when a customer is staying for years, that lifetime value goes from, maybe a couple hundred bucks to thousands of dollars.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as us entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey towards $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to season two of Sales Funnel Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is Steve Larson. Welcome back to another episode of Sales Funnel Radio, also to the YouTube channel and whatever platform you're tuning into. I have a very amazing, amazing person on today who I've looked up to for years and years and years. So slightly pinching myself that he's on with us today. An honor to have him. Welcome to the show, Stu McLaren.
Dude, great to be here, buddy. Thanks for having me.
I'm super psyched to have you, man. It has been so fun to get to know you and your family and your amazing kids and just the charity that you guys do. And for those who don't know, do you want to tell everyone what the charity is real quick?
Yeah, sure. So years ago, it'll be now 14 years ago, my wife had a crazy idea because she loves traveling and she would always travel to like remote areas of developing countries. And she just saw a huge need. And so one year she's like, I just want to help. I just want to help people, particularly kids in these remote areas. And I would love to help them get an education. She was a teacher at the time. And of course, I'm, trying to be a supportive husband. And I'm like, yeah, for sure, babes. Like, let's totally do that. Little did I know that seed of an idea would eventually lead to us forming a charity, which is now called Village Impact. And we've had this charity for 14 years, and we've now built 15 schools in Kenya. And each school has anywhere between 300 to 800 kids attend. It just one thing led to another. And Steve, I was so honored you and Marley came this year. You have donated and contributed to Village Impact. You came and saw the kids, the schools, your classroom that you built. And it was just a ton of fun. But that's how it all started. Just an idea. We had no clue on how we were going to move forward with it. But one thing led to another. And here we are.
Now, it's been so fun to get to know you guys. And it was one of those, it was a life-changing experience. So I am really, really excited to go back. And I also am psyched. I know we weren't really planning on talking this that much, but just I want people to know that Village Impact is a thing. There's a lot of charities that have a lot of needs, and there's some charities that have a lot of attention and want to bring more attention to this. So I just love it so much. But hey,
thanks, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. So just shifting gears though, I consider to be like, you're like the grandfather of subscription. You've been doing this for so long.
I need to grab the beard out a little bit, Steve.
Grandfather is not the right word, but the mage, right? The Commodore of subscription. You've been doing it for a long time. And it's something that a lot of people are waking up to and really installing inside their business. Could you kind of just tell everyone what you do and how you got into that?
Dude, I have been helping people launch, grow, and scale highly profitable memberships for over 15 years. And these are internet marketing years. So that's like a lifetime in the normal 100. World. And, the way in which I got started was because I myself wanted to create my own membership. I had a consulting business and it was going great, but I was the bottleneck, meaning like I couldn't take on any more clients because I didn't have any more time. And that was the only way in which I knew to grow the business. Sure, I could probably have hired more people and scaled that way, but that just wasn't of interest at the time. And so I was kind of at a crossroads. And I was talking to a friend of mine, his name's Armin Morin. And I said, dude, like, what do I do? Because I really want to grow the business, but I don't want to add a whole bunch of people. And he's like, man, you need to just start a membership site. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He said, well, look, a membership site is going to give you the ability to be able to help more people, but at scale. So you teach one to many versus the one-on-one that you're currently doing with your consulting clients. And I was like, interesting. So this was back in 2008, and the tech back then was not what it is today. And so I was like trying to figure this all out myself. And I was like deep in trying to figure out things like HT access files and server settings. And it was like way over my head. So I'm like frustrated. because all I want to do is I just want to teach. I just want to create content and I just want to deliver it to people. Yeah. I didn't want to get caught up in all this stuff. Anyways, yeah. A friend of mine, I'm chatting to him. His name's Tracy and I'm venting and I'm talking about all this stuff. And he just casually says, he says, well, Stu, why don't you just create your own solution? And I remember Steve, like, I'm like, is he hearing anything that I'm saying? Like, I'm like, dude, I just said that I'm having trouble with the tech. Like, how the heck am I going to go and code my own membership solution? He's like, why don't we team up? I've got a great developer. Let's do it together. So ultimately we did. We ended up creating a membership solution that went on to become the world's number one membership platform for WordPress. Wow. It was called Wishlist Member. When I sold my shares in that company, we were powering over 70,000 online communities and memberships.
Oh my goodness. So
being behind the scenes of that many membership sites, you start to see patterns. You start to see like what works and what doesn't when it comes to growing a membership. And ironically, so many of the strategies that work are completely counterintuitive to what we would normally think to do. Mm. And so I just started paying attention to the sites that were growing year over year over year. And from that point forward, I have basically been helping, teaching, guiding, consulting, partnering in some cases with entrepreneurs in all kinds of different markets, from photography and calligraphy to fitness and finance and music and art and health and dog training. We even have a woman, her name's Holly George. She has a membership site with thousands of members teaching people how to make balloon animals, for crying out loud. But bottom line is, like, I have been teaching how to grow a profitable membership site for decades, helping tens of thousands of people. And so after I sold my company, I just focused on teaching. And that's what I have done for the last, almost 10 years now, just solely teaching. And then we started a whole new platform as well called searchy.io, but that's kind of how I got into it, man.
That's amazing. It's the tech is nothing like now, right? The tech back then, it's amazing. We had to go code and put together for that. And I mean, that set precedent though for so many people on how they get memberships, grow them, sustain them. And as we all know, like, a one-off business is a pretty stressful thing to survive. And so it creates the foundation for a business.
100%. And this is why, like, you've seen so many companies, big companies, little companies, who are shifting to a recurring revenue model. I mean, you just look at like all the apps. Like, a perfect example, my brother-in-law yesterday, he was showing me this new feature of Adobe Photoshop. And I haven't used Photoshop for years, but he uses it all the time. And he was telling me like how crazy this one feature is because it now incorporates AI. So you basically like, imagine, this is not a commercial for Adobe Photoshop, but he's like, Stu, like, you got a picture and you just tell it like, hey, get rid of this tree in the background. Like, you tell it and then Photoshop just goes and it takes that. So he was showing me, but here's why this matters for us. Like, about 5 or 6 years ago, Adobe used to sell Photoshop via a box software. Like, you actually had to go to Best Buy and buy a box, which then had instructions on how to install the software. But they shifted to online subscriptions, revolutionized their business. You look at like old traditional newspapers, New York Times is earning more revenue now from its online subscriptions than it is the physical newspaper. You look at like big companies like Netflix and Amazon and Disney Plus, they're all subscription models, right? So we're now, as consumers, we're so used to it. It's just common sense, second nature, but it wasn't always this way. But the reason that companies are making that move is because it creates so much more stability and predictability. And you even just look at like investors, when they're looking to buy a company, there's a huge difference in terms of what they're willing to pay for a company if it has recurring revenue versus the exact same business that doesn't. The one with recurring is going to get way more money than the one that doesn't. And that's because of the stability and the predictability. And so for us as business owners, we should be thinking about how can I add as many different recurring revenue streams into the business as possible, because it's transformative once you do.
Interesting. When I was crossing a number of years ago, passing like that $8 million mark, I had some business valuators come look at my business and I was like offended. This is the first time I've ran into that. They're like, your business is worth maybe $500,000. I was like, I'm crossing eight. And said, what? And they're like, well, because you have no recurring revenue and you're the face. And it's like, I think the power of recurring revenue is that it also increases, I think it anchors the entrepreneur to a theme. It's harder to go down these product creation rabbit holes because you're, instead of brand new offer, it's how do you make something so good that people stay forever? There's such a focus on repeat customers. And for most entrepreneurs in the info space, I feel like that means, well, I get repeat customers by making a new offer all the time. And instead it shifts towards one thing that's absolutely, that's the repeat. It's the same thing over and over and over again because it's that good. Like, it just changes the tone of everything.
Yeah. And you hit the nail on the head, like the value is in the lifetime value of that customer. And it is, you know, we often, you know, just see it as that first month subscription, like the $30 a month or the $50 a month. It is not that. Like when you have a membership that is really dialed in, especially from a retention standpoint, that customer doesn't stay for a few months. That customer stays for years. And that's what we see in our community. And when a customer is staying for years, that lifetime value goes from, you know, maybe a couple hundred bucks to thousands of dollars. And that changes the way in which we think about like how we plan our business, how we invest in our marketing, like all the things. So this is why I'm a huge fan of memberships, recurring revenue, and have been for decades now. And I just love the fact that more and more entrepreneurs are, you know, opening their eyes and saying, oh my gosh, like, yes, I'd love to have that. And when they do, it's like, oh my gosh, that first rebill month, it's like, what just happened? What just happened?
Wonderful feeling.
I didn't do a promo and I just got paid a whole lot of money. That's amazing. That's the magic of memberships and recurring revenue.
And then it lets you put focus back into the relationship with the person and improving the experience throughout instead of constantly hunting a new sale, which is burns you out and the list.
Totally. Yeah. It definitely changes that stress level because as entrepreneurs, the natural stress that we all feel is like, where's that next sale going to come from? And so we're constantly dreaming up that next promo or that next offer or that next launch or whatever it might be. And that's just stressful. It's like, and you know, you get off of that roller coaster and then you can start to really pour into your people. And that's exactly it. Like you don't have that same level of stress. You've got more bandwidth and time now to pour into your people and therefore help them get better results. And at the end of the day, that's the thing that's going to drive your business long term. So
yeah,
it's a win all the way across the board.
Oh, absolutely. And then you get to go, you know, like I said, you build that relationship out and then you can figure out what the next tier is there. And I love it. I think it's a much better way to go about business. You, in my opinion, are you're the top of the top. Anyone wants to go learn this stuff, you go to Stu McLaren. All right. Go to Stu stuff. And check that out. In fact, I was just talking about Searchy with my assistant right before we jumped on here. So excited.
I appreciate that, buddy. Thank you for that.
Yeah, heck yeah. Okay, so I obviously come mostly from the funnel space. This is Sales Funnel Radio. And as I see people start to transition more towards and do this for the first time, you know, I'd say maybe like 10% of them are doing some sort of subscription or recurring revenue thing. So for the most people, it's brand new. And classic mistakes from a tech standpoint, from a strategic how you sell it standpoint, onboarding, ongoing relationship. I mean, it is a different business model altogether. What would you say is like that mistake you see all of us making that you're like, it's such a simple fix. Oh my gosh, you got it. You know what I mean? The thing where you're like, I'm tired of being asked that on the call. You know, what is that thing and how should we fix that?
Well, it kind of piggybacks off what we were talking about just a few minutes ago. And that is like the real value of a membership business comes in the lifetime value of the members that stay. So if we don't pay attention to what happens after somebody, you know, makes the decision to join your membership, then we will see high turnover. And that's where it becomes frustrating. Like somebody could have a membership and they're like, I was just listening to Steve and Stu and they're talking about how memberships are the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I don't see it. Like, my members are coming in and they're leaving just as fast as they're coming. And so I'm constantly having to talk about it, blah, 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 blah. So we got to plug those holes as early as possible, because if you see high turnover, then you're not going to reap the tremendous long-term benefit of a membership site. Mm-hmm. So what I see a lot of people from the funnel world doing, which I think, you know, we got to kind of shift the mindset a little bit, is traditionally a funnel where we're so focused on the steps to making the sale. And that is important, because at the end of the day, listen, if we don't make a sale, we're not going to have any.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Any members in a membership. So I'm like, job one, you gotta make a sale. So 100%. But I want to encourage people in a membership business to put as much energy into what happens after the sale as they do to make the sale. Because the energy that you put into, quote, the funnel after somebody joins your membership will pay for itself over and over and over and over again. So the goal, once somebody joins your membership, especially if it's a membership where you're teaching somebody like how to master something, or perhaps you're providing like a resource that they can use on a regular basis. Like, we have a lot of teachers in our community as an example. And so they have memberships with thousands of people. Like, I think of Patty Palmer. She has a membership with nearly 8,000 people in the membership. And she's providing lesson plans for other art teachers. So instead of these art teachers going into class and having to come up with their own lesson plans, or staying up at night trying to get the lesson plan for the next day, or consuming their weekends like preparing, no problem. They just subscribe to Patty's membership and she just hands them these lesson plans on a platter. So they just print off whatever they need, and in the class they go. They don't even have to do any prep. So it's a huge, huge time saver for them. But so any membership where you're teaching somebody a skill or you're providing them a resource like that, the reason somebody's joining that membership is because they're looking to achieve some outcome or experience some progress in their life. And so for us, what I would encourage everybody to do is pour energy into, like, how can I help people as quickly as possible begin to build some momentum towards that outcome that they're after? Because here's an interesting stat, Steve. There's studies that have been done on this. And if somebody has a positive experience in the first 30 days of your membership, it will on average triple the lifetime value of that member. So that first 30 days is so important and crucial. So we want to focus on three areas. You want me to unpack them?
Yeah, totally. Taking notes.
Okay. So the first area is that we want to make sure that our members have clarity as to where they are in this journey toward this outcome. And what should their first steps be? So a lot of times, a new member will come into a membership, and one of the classic mistakes is that it's just a huge vault or a library of a ton of content. And so somebody gets in there, they're all excited. They're like, yeah, okay, I'm ready to do, yeah. And then they get in and they're like, duh, where do I go? What do I do? And then this like little seed of doubt gets planted. Like, you can't do this. You're not ready for this. I don't know how you're going to find time for all this. And so they start second guessing themselves. And as soon as that happens, it's like a matter of time before they cancel and get out because they're overwhelmed. So the way we combat that is we provide a little onboarding survey and we just ask a few questions. And then based on their answers, we say, ah, Steve, based on your answers, here's where you are in this journey. And here are the few things that you should focus on right now. Forget about everything else. It actually doesn't even matter right now, because the only thing that matters for you are these few things so that you can take this next step. Does that make sense so far?
Incredible. So just, yeah, combat overwhelm with this onboarding survey. Based on responses, you should focus on these next few steps here. We got all this stuff. Don't even worry about it. I love that. That's amazing.
Super simple, right? No. So it gives them the clarity they need on what they should be taking action on right now. And that immediately is going to eliminate a ton of overwhelm. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that you want to help your members begin getting results. So we often think that the only result that's worth talking about is the big win, the final outcome. No. Like there's a whole bunch of wins that lead up to that thing. And so we want to talk about them. We want to celebrate them. And we want to reflect back to our members like, Steve, I know you're on your road to building a multi-million dollar business. That is amazing. But dude, I don't want to discount the fact that you just did your first launch. That is amazing. You made your first dollar. Like Steve, check this out. I have a picture here in my office that's plaqued. This is when I made my very first online sale. This was back in 2004. And I have this plaqued because this was a moment that forever changed my life. And so in our community, we celebrate this moment because the moment somebody makes their first sale, it's transformative because in that moment, they're filled with belief like, oh my gosh, this is actually happening. Yes, this is real. Like I can do this. And that is the very thing that's going to create momentum for them as they begin moving forward. So we want to help our people get results as quickly as possible. And we want to celebrate those little results that lead to the big result. Is that making sense?
Yeah, that's huge. I love that. Again, all results too. I like that because too often, you know, it sometimes takes longer. It usually takes longer to get the outcome than anyone wants. We all want it yesterday. And so if you don't celebrate the wins on the way, you know, you're going to, like you said, that's what builds momentum, not the sale.
Yeah, you lose steam, right? Like if the only thing that we're celebrating is the final outcome, there's a lot that often has to happen to get there. And so it can feel like a slog. But like if we are feel like we got momentum on our side, we're like, yeah, this is happening. Like, oh my gosh, like, yes, I can see how this is going to lead to this and that's going to lead to this and boom, we'll be there, you know? So
yeah.
We got to celebrate those early wins, especially in the first 30 days. And because if somebody has that momentum, they begin in their mind to project forward the reality of what could happen if they stay immersed in your community. So that's one of the important parts of this, that positive experience. We need them to begin experiencing that momentum. So number one is we want to help them get clarity. Number two is we want to help them get results. Any questions on that before I move to number three?
No, it's awesome. That literally results in their future pacing themselves. Beautiful.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Super powerful. Yeah.
What's number three?
Okay. Number three is we want to help them form one meaningful connection. So let me kind of share this with a story. So a couple years ago, my family and I, we moved to a new area, which meant our kids were going to a new school. Now, any parents listening and watching, you know, like there's this nervous energy anytime you're going to the first day of school, let alone the first day of a new school where you don't know anybody.
Yeah.
So we walk Marla and Sam, those are our kids, to school. And, you know, my wife and I, we drop them off and we're like, you guys got it. It's going to be awesome. We're trying to pump them full of like positive energy and thoughts. But in the back of our minds, as soon as we dropped them off, we both looked at each other and we're like, please let this be a good day. Like, please let them just feel settled, you know, like. So anyways, fast forward, end of the day, Amy and I go and we pick them up. And I'm watching. And then my daughter, Marla, she comes out first. And I'm kind of like trying to look at her face to gauge like how the day went. And she comes out. She's got this huge smile on her face. And so I'm like, Marla, like, how was it? And she's like, Dad, this is the best school ever. And I'm like, why? Tell me. She's like, okay, well, you know how I used to go to Montessori school? And I said, yeah. She said, there's a girl in my class who used to go to Montessori school too. I'm like, what? That's crazy. You got that in common. She's like, yeah, but Dad, you won't believe this. You know how I love horses? I said, well, yeah, I think you'd marry one if you could. And she said, yeah. She said, there's the same girl loves horses too. And she rides as well. I'm like, oh my gosh. And she's like, you won't even believe this. She said, you know, the new stable that I'm riding at? I said, yeah. She said, her mom owns the stable. She said, Dad, this is the best school ever. Okay, time out. Her whole framing that this was the best school ever was because she made one meaningful relationship. And that's the whole lesson for all of us. Hmm. If we can help our members form one meaningful relationship, it can make all the difference in their experience. Because wow. Now they don't feel alone. They don't feel like they're, you know, the newbie. They feel connected. They feel seen. They feel heard. And more importantly, if we can help them form relationships that can also help move them down their journey faster and easier, it becomes a more rewarding experience. And that's what contributes to this overall positive experience that we're talking about in that first 30 days.
Wow. How powerful. Yeah. She wasn't like, the lesson was good. The teacher was good. It had nothing to do with the school itself.
Exactly.
Yeah. What a wonderful story to illustrate that.
Yeah. Huh. You know, and I think like, you know, oftentimes people say, well, Stu, how can I do that? Well, there's a whole bunch of tactics that you can implement to help, you know, your members form meaningful connections, but I'll just give you one that is like a home run. If you have any type of community where people are talking to one another, maybe it's just a simple Facebook group, which is totally fine, but we'll just use that as an example. What I want to encourage you to do is to have one post where people can introduce themselves. And now here's the thing. You don't want to just say to somebody, hey, come jump into the group and introduce yourself. Because any of the introverts that are watching and listening know that's like the worst thing that you could ask somebody. Yeah. Like, I don't want to come into the group and say, hey, my name is Stu. Let me tell you why I'm awesome. I'm awesome for this reason and that reason. And blah, blah. Like, nobody wants to do
Give me the mic. Give me the mic.
Exactly. Nobody wants to do that. So then they're not going to. So the way in which you combat that is you give them three different questions, as an example, that all they need to do is answer the questions. So then it follows the same format. So now they don't feel like they're, you know, gushing about themselves or bragging about themselves. And the questions you want to ask are questions that are going to help form connections with others in your membership. So there's all kinds of connection points. These are, I call them connection points. Like a connection point might be the fact that, Steve, you and I, we're parents. We both have young kids, right? That's a connection point, right? Because yeah. We can relate. We can talk about like, daughter, you were telling me your daughter's birthday's coming up. She's going to hit double digits. Dude, that's a significant milestone. Like my daughter just went through that, you know? And so that's a connection point. Or a connection point might be where somebody lives. Like imagine if, you know, you find out that you're in this membership and there's literally somebody in your town that's in the same membership. Maybe they would then want to connect and go for coffee or mastermind together or whatever it might be. Or what if in your onboarding, you asked, hey, do you have a podcast? Yes, I do. Do you welcome guests on your podcast? Yes, I do. Or would you like to be a guest on others' podcasts? Yes, I would. And now you can start playing matchmaker where people are connecting, they're collaborating, perhaps they're doing business with each other. Now all kinds of magic begins to happen. So there's all kinds of ways to facilitate this, like I said, but the bottom line is in that first 30 days, if we can help them form a meaningful connection, magic happens.
That's powerful. That's huge. And I appreciate that because I think that, you know, for everyone watching, listening now, like think about how, what Stu's saying here, that we're not talking about here's how to improve the offer. You know what I mean? Like this is a very different line of thought than most people think with this stuff. Where really it's almost a natural necessity for most subscription style businesses. It's going to probably be some kind of community aspect for most infopreneurs shifting over to this model. So
there may not be a community component, and that's totally fine too. But even with that, like there are still ways in which you can help people connect and you can spotlight different members and you can feature, you know, different people and so forth. But at the end of the day, like you just got to kind of keep that in mind. If in that first 30 days, we can help people get clear on where they are and what they should focus on right now, their next step, that's a huge win. If we can help people begin to implement and experience even teeny tiny steps toward their final outcome, that's a win. And if we can help people form one meaningful connection, that too is a win. All of which is going to dramatically improve your ability to keep people happy and staying in the membership. So just like we talked about, your opening question was like, what's one of the major mistakes? One of the major mistakes is that most people only focus on what to do to get members in, and they forget about the fact that there's all equally as important funnel, so to speak, on the back end, which is how to begin helping people experience progress, how to keep people happy. And at the end of the day, you and I, if we got a membership, we're in the business of keeping people happy. As long as they're happy and paying, then we have a business that continues to flourish. And so that's all we're in it for, dude. We're just in the business of keeping people happy. And if all we do is obsess over our people, then our business will continue to flourish.
Dude, I am super excited to have you speak at Offer Launch. It's going to be amazing. Thank you so much for your time, man. Yeah, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it. And thanks for coming to speak at Offer Launch. This topic is, I think it's the largest topic in the funnel space's mind right now. It's trying to figure out how to do continuity. And for most people, like, this just feels like a brand new business. And it kind of is. it's a very different line of thought.
But there's a lot of fundamentals that do carry over, but there are some nuances that, you know, make a big difference too. And that's what I can't wait to talk about. Like at Offer Launch, like we're going to be diving deep into what are the few things that make a big difference between a site that flops or plateaus and a site that continues to thrive year over year over year. That's what we're going to be unpacking. And I'm super pumped for it. That's why everybody should go to offerlaunch.com and go get your ticket today.
Woo! Go get your ticket, guys. It's October 26th through the 28th and offerlaunch.com. Stu, thank you so much for your time, man. This is awesome. Super looking forward to hearing from you.
Always, buddy. Can't wait.
Hey, thanks, man.